Cosmic Shed.
You're listening to The Cosmic Shed, a show that explores the way science and storytelling collide.
We'll be talking about films, books, music, theatre, TV, and anything else that catches our curiosity. From rigorously accurate science fact to ridiculously speculative science fiction.
We don't want to nitpick, but to celebrate the ways science and art can complement and enrich each other.
Mostly, we just want to talk about nerdy things that make us happy.
We've decided to do all of this from a crumbling garden shed somewhere in suburban Bristol.
The Cosmic Shed.
Science fact.
Science fiction.
And everything in between. Hello and welcome to another bonus episode of The Cosmic Shed. It's just me, Andrew, again in the shed, but I just really wanted to bring you this because Ben and I had an opportunity recently to meet Professor Mark McCorkran. He's Senior Scientific Advisor for the European Space Agency in the Doctorate of Science and Robotic Exploration. Mark and his team currently have spacecraft working at Venus, Mars, Saturn, around the Earth, looking at the Sun, and one which you'll all know an awful lot about, I hope, which is the Rosetta spacecraft around the comet, which we'll call 67P. And Mark was in Cardiff to give a talk about the Rosetta mission and everything around it. So Ben and I went off to Cardiff and managed to catch up with Professor Mark McCorkran. And we also caught up with Franziska.
My name is Franziska Batten. I'm an astrophysicist at Cardiff University, and I do a lot of outreach, and I helped organize the Rosetta talk. So we had Mark McCorkran give a talk on the science behind Rosetta and the reasoning why they attempted the mission in the first place, and showed some great videos. One of my personal highlights were the animated Rosetta stories that show Rosetta travelling through the solar system and arriving at the comet 67P and Philae journeying to the surface. It really humanizes the mission and it shows some of the excitement and passion that goes into it. And I like that they're age appropriate for primary school kids and older, and they're all available on YouTube for the public. And I think they're just really good at engaging people into the Rosetta mission beyond the difficult science that they actually do. Rosetta is very ambitious. Comets are tiny. They're very far away. They move very fast. So far, we had no opportunity to really explore them. Once they land on Earth, they're pretty much contaminated immediately or burnt up. And some valuable research can be done, but seeing one in the wild was always an interesting idea because it could give us hints of the origin of water on our planet. The rock underneath the ice maybe has never been churned through a planet. It hasn't been molten and reformed like the rocks on Earth, so it's pretty much pure from the formation of the solar system. Having access to that could, yes, give us immeasurable insight in the formation of the solar system, where comes water from on the Earth, all kinds of things that we might not even think of yet. The comet 67P moves into the solar system and it acquires a really very high speed because it falls into the gravity of the Sun. So that means for us, Rosetta has to get that speed as well. And we could just strap a giant rocket to it, but that would be very expensive. Instead, we send it on a journey through the solar system where it steals acceleration from the planets by doing a gravity assist, a sling around the planet, and then it accelerates. It did that a few times, then met up with 67P around the same speed. A project of this scale takes a lot of work, a lot of work. So they tend to work about 20, 25 years in advance. You tend to have the first idea and it might seem like an insane idea and the technology isn't there, otherwise you'd be doing it already. That's why it takes so long, because you need about the 20 years to come up with an idea, then to realize what technology is possible. Then you start building and experimenting with prototypes, optimized, and of course you learn more and your technology gets better and better until you have a prototype that then gets picked up by the European Space Agency and gets a big funding. So it's a huge amount of work. It's thousands of people who are working on these missions. Some drop in for a few years and then leave again. Others are there from the inception till the end. And it's also the human time component. It just means a scientist will work at one mission generally, maybe two over the course of their careers. So you have to have a lot of faith in the mission and a lot of passion for it if you're willing to commit that much time of your life to it. At any time, the European Space Agency, ESA, has about 15 to 20 giant missions running simultaneously. And all of them would like to be as much in the public eye as is Rosetta, but not all of them are as easily explained or as inspiring. So there isn't actually that much funding in outreach, not as much as I would like, for example. A lot of scientists actually donate their private time. They donate their weekends to give talks to the public, for which they don't get paid. They travel on their own dime. And it's just because they're really passionate about the subject. Rosetta is a bit of an experiment for the European Space Agency. One of the ideas they tried to convey, the idea of Rosetta to the wider public, was making a short movie with Aidan Gillen in it. And a high production value. It was filmed in Iceland and it looks absolutely gorgeous. The film is called Ambition, which I think pretty much sums up the reason for making it. It's not about conveying the science behind Rosetta. It's more about conveying the big step it is for humanity to actually catch up to a comet, which is something never been done before. Nothing close has ever been done before. I think the moon landing was bigger and more exciting, but it's a step in the same direction of claiming something new for humanity. And Ambition tried to convey that aspect. Not necessarily that we're going to learn about the origin of water, etc., but that humanity still strives for the stars.
With all the space missions that we've had, I've never seen anybody create a piece of science fiction to communicate the message. And I think one of the great things about this film is that it's designed really to get across the excitement and the daring and the ridiculously brilliant thinking that went into the Rosetta mission.
Well, one of the motivations really was that we'd look back at Mars Curiosity when it landed, and they had this very famous film, 7 Minutes of Terror. Which was actually, you know, incredibly influential. It was very good CGI. It grabbed people. People were engaged by it. They were engaged by the risk as well. You know, really? You're going to do that with the sky crane and everything? And we thought, well, we want to do something high-end as well. But we immediately realized we couldn't do 7 Minutes of Terror because we have 7 hours of boredom as you descend towards the surface. We also don't have sound. We don't have crashing through the atmosphere. We don't all have all that stuff with Felix. But 7 Minutes of Terror actually doesn't talk about why you went to Mars either. It says how you go to Mars. And we wanted to get people wrapped around the idea, why would you even do this in the first place? So Ambition has two main thrusts. One is to say, look, this is why you go. Water, life, you know, what the origins. And these are science fiction characters in the deep future looking back. So it was partly that, kind of broke some molds there, and it got people thinking, it got out to communities that normally wouldn't follow us, even though you think science fiction fans are going to like real space. Actually, not always. But it was also risk management, because you notice in the film, we never land. We deploy, but we don't land. And Aidan Gillen turns around and says, you know, it's ambition, stubbornness, picking yourself up if you fail. Because we did not know when the film came out in October that we were going to land successfully in November. So it was a very deliberate, how do we manage risk? The danger with doing science fiction associated with space exploration is that if you do science fiction too far in advance of reality, people kind of say, oh, you're just mucking around, you're just doing science fiction. One of the more interesting things was that NASA's in the mission. NASA turned to us, you know, we said, well, you're going to do social media for this film we've just released. Their very sniffy reply was, we don't think that's a good fit for us, which we interpreted as, we didn't make it and you've outdone us. Then 2 days later, the head of manned space flight at NASA saw the film, was blown away, phoned up his people and said, find out how they did that. So the social media people came crawling back to us and said, oh, our boss has now asked us how you did that. So we've been involved, the people building the Orion crew vehicle. for the future. They got us online and said, how do you do outreach, ESA? It was brilliant. I mean, that's a first, right, that NASA comes to ask us. And I said, I wouldn't go science fiction on the Orion crew vehicle. It's so far out in the future. We could get away with doing ambition because we were at a comet and we were weeks away from landing. Of course, we made the film earlier. If we had not rendezvoused, we probably never would have released the film. And it was for that very specific moment. We released an online viral trailer that had no link to ESA at all. We got 500,000 views, and it allowed us to invite 100 film journalists and various media people with no knowledge of our engagement to the British Film Institute in London. They had come to us in January and said, oh, we're having a science fiction film festival, and we know that Rosetta is going to be a big thing. Can we do something with you? Can you do a live stream of the landing? And I said, no, you can premiere my science fiction film. And they went, what? That got us into the BFI. Then we showed the real film, 5 minutes. And then we took our jackets off, and there we were, European Space Agency. And we then showed what we were really about to do. So I think in that sense, the science fiction worked really well with the fact. But yeah, it was that dual strategy. Why would you want to do this? And what's the philosophical point? If it doesn't work, at least we tried.
Well, there we are. Thank you very much indeed to Franziska and Mark. Fantastic to have you both on the Cosmic Shed. And while we're on the topic of Rosetta, we should actually post pictures on the website of the scarecrows, in inverted commas, that Ben, Lyra, my daughter, and myself made with the help from a few other people. Essentially, there was a street party on the street. Everybody could make a scarecrow. And of course, we made Rosetta and Feli. And great excitement when the European Space Agency actually tweeted that. We'll be back soon with another podcast, no doubt. We're all very excited because The Martian, Andy Weir's book, has become a film, you've probably noticed, and we're all going to see it very soon. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
The Cosmic Shed.
Science fact.
Science fiction.
And everything in between.